Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Get the alert.
There we go.
Hey.
Recording in progress.
Man, what a, you know, it's that feature. We said it was going to be good, and it turns out that it's pretty good.
Yeah, there we go. I'm wondering if our listeners are ever going to get tired of us commenting on that recording in progress, recording in progress.
Nah, if they're still listening to us by now, they can't get tired of anything.
No, they love our nonsensical ramblings.
I just meant in general. Like,
oh yeah,
they just have the patience of a saint if they're still listening to us by now.
Patience of a saint. Oh, the good times. All right.
How to go with Jambalaya Hot Pot?
Jambalaya Hot Pot has not yet made his appearance in the game. Jambalaya Hot Pot will be showing up next Sunday.
I see. Very good. Yeah.
Well, his actual name is Gumbo Hot Pot, but everyone just calls him Jambalaya. That's kind of better. Yeah, he's Gumbo to all of his friends, but no, he's Gumbo to his parents, but all his friends call him Jambalaya.
The thing that's funny about that is that Gumbo is like almost like a sounds like a legit hobbit name.
Yeah, it totally does. Like J.R.R. Tolkien's like, we shall call this character Aragorn the Ranger, also known as Strider, and what's his fancy name, Elendil, and we will call this hobbit Gumbo. Yes. You know, Aragorn, second of his name, first leader of the blah 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 blah, and this one will be Gumbo Hot Pot.
Yes,
that's Tolkien in a nutshell. You know, Morgoth. You know, leader of the blah blah blahs, and this guy will be Treebeard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
because he's a tree.
Because he's a tree, and he has a beard. Oh. I'm not suffering from PTSD from World War I. Not at all.
I'm pretty sure that he was pretty open about how fucked up that war made him.
Well, yeah. I always go back to the fact of like Tolkien's like, I don't believe in any sort of subtext to my books, and then all of a sudden it's like he's writing about all the shit that he went through in World War I, and it's like,
No. I think there's a distinct thing. I think people can read into things. I think what he means, I mean, obviously, this is interpreting someone else's statement, so it could obviously be wrong. I think it's the same. As myself, like what my opinion, because you know I also hate allegory.
Yes.
but I hate intentional allegory. If you can come off of what he wrote and you can be like, well, I you know, this really seems to be like blah 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 blah, reading into something I feel is different than someone intentionally using an allegory.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I think that that's what he probably,
I believe that was his stance as well.
I think that's what he probably meant, but I also, in reading his book of
his statement is like Gandalf is Gandalf. That's the thing.
Kind of. I mean, if you actually read the book on monsters, he's pretty flat in saying that, like, no, there's no such thing as allegory.
Oh,
like, I get what you're saying, and I think that's probably a little bit more towards what he actually like the actual outcome of his statement is, but he was pretty pigheaded about that. Like, he's, you know, and it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, the nice thing about metaphor and allegory is it exists even if you don't want it to exist. It's one of those, it's like science. It's like science exists whether or not you want to believe it.
It's true.
Yeah, because there's, you know, as we know, there's a lot of people who don't believe in science, and there's also a lot of people who don't believe that Warhammer should be played by anyone other than
George R. R. Martin.
No, it's white males
due to look like George R. Martin.
Yeah, white males between the ages of like 18 and 65. Let's say
exclusively dudes who look like George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, well, dudes from 25. No, the exclusively by dudes who look like the bad guy from Pee-wee's Playhouse, from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh yes. What's his name? Fuck.
Put it up. On the Facebook page.
I can't remember his name. It was so good.
Not Sherman.
Was it Sheldon?
No. Let me see. I could look this up in 2 seconds.
Yeah, you got to do it because that was fucking great when he's chewing that fucking gum and that like black goo
Francis,
comes out of his mouth.
It's Francis.
Francis. Francis. Francis. Oh, I see you have my. I like that bike, Pee-wee.
My father says I can have anything for my birthday.
That would be so fucking weird.
Yeah, but that's kind of what, in my opinion, if like you say like a Warhammer player, like that's the person who comes into my head. Like, there's also the older guys, but I think a lot of them have died, Steve. I think a lot of them died. They didn't make it through COVID. They didn't make it through their third heart attack.
They're
13 heart attacks, or as I like to call it, a baker's dozen.
As for me, I say let's get down to business
to defeat.
And fall in love with femboy twinks.
I like how you're all about the Shang is in love with is angry that he's in love with a girl and not a femboy twink.
Yeah. Yeah, he was all in the femboy twink, and he's just like, I've been deceived.
Deceived. Are we allowed to say femboy twink anymore?
Yeah, you can say femboy twink.
Okay,
that's totally fine. That is a gratis non-derogatory statement.
Okay, I just want to make sure it's non-derogatory. It might be, for all I know. I'm a little outside that area. I'm a very accepting of that area, but I'm outside of it enough to know that the terminology might be offensive or not. I don't know. So I will defer to you on that matter.
He's a hot femboy twink. Okay. Who am I to argue?
It's very true. But let's talk about how the Warhammer community is once again destroying itself from within. Have you heard about the sodas thing?
I've heard about nothing. So you'll need to bring me up to speed on just about everything.
One of the animators for that Warhammer streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
His sodas, I believe, is his name. He has a YouTube page. He does decent animation. He does. He's done a lot of stuff for Titanfall, Fallout.
The only animator I know is the one who does the Ultramarines. Who does like the crazy high quality CG ones. That's the only animator I know of.
Yeah, I think it's just what was that called? Was it just called Space Marine? Something like that.
Yeah, I think it was just called Astartes or something.
Oh, Astartes, that's what it is. Sorry, yeah. People. My thing is I think YouTube and most of all social media is trash. It's awful. You should never go to any of it, period. There's nothing good that will ever be found on any of it. But, you know, when it's relative to the gaming community, I like to keep my finger somewhat near the pulse, maybe about a meter away. You know, I'm going to go metric on that. But Sodas was a guy who did some 40K animation. I didn't even know about this guy. Apparently, he's a thing. But apparently he's been bullied out of the 40K community because a bunch of jackasses decided to harass him for signing on with GW. Now, let's put it this way. Okay.
Wait. So he signed on with Games Workshop and a bunch of Games Workshop fans harassed him?
Yeah, fans is in quotation marks.
Right.
Yeah. So back in May, I mean, like, look at this Spiky Bits, which is the, you know, Spiky Bits, the thinking man's Bell of Lost Souls, put up an article that said, another popular 40K YouTuber assimilated by GW. Now, first of all, fuck them for putting the term assimilated by GW, right? So this is a guy on his own free time decides to make 40K animation, right? It's like us. We use up an hour of our free time every 2 weeks to record a podcast about miniature gaming and GW stuff, right?
Right.
You know, like, we're using our free time. So if Games Workshop decide to give us money, we're not being assimilated. We're just being paid for the giving you the content that we give you free.
Yeah, the proper language would be paid for former free efforts.
Yeah, exactly. So he got signed on, and apparently the Games Workshop community has started giving him shit. Like, you sold out, blah, blah, blah. And I hate the fucking term sold out. I fucking hate the term sold out.
Hey, man, what's the old line? I didn't sell out. I bought in.
Yeah, something. I know. It's like I just always think of fucking less than Jake, man. Sell out, you know, with me tonight. Sell out.
Yeah, fuck, man. I'd
record
sell
company's
out in a
gonna give me lots of money and everything's gonna be all right.
Fuck that. You can keep your superior morals. I'll take the paycheck.
Exactly. I think I don't know when that kind of switched in my head, but I was probably as soon as I started working in the real world where I realized that, there's no such thing as a sellout. You're just making money.
Yeah, you're just trying to fucking survive.
I'm just trying to fucking survive in this world.
I think there's a very narrow, maybe a very narrow like razor line of what you could consider a sellout. And it's not really, sellout probably isn't the right term for what I'm going to say, but it's like the only thing I can think of when someone is already super successful and then they do something shitty. Like, I don't know, what was that band that like really fucked over file sharing and possibly fucked over the free internet forever? That's selling out, because you know, they were already super successful. They were already all rich as fuck.
I think they didn't really fuck over the free internet. What I think they did is I think that they actually made file sharing way more popular.
Mm.
I think it was the Streisand effect where people were like, wait, you could use the internet to get free music? Like, and everyone like, you know, at the time, I think when that was going on, I was like 19, 20 at the time, and I had internet for the first time when I went to college. I never had internet until I went to college. And, you know, when the whole Napster bad and LimeWire and all that was like becoming like, I didn't know about that until I started hearing about people bitching about like the music industry bitching about it. And I was like, wait, this is a thing. So I actually got it for my computer, and then I started downloading. So it's kind of like,
that is also true, but there's still negative ripple effects from them just being shit heels.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, so that's what something I would consider. Like, I think that's the closest I can think of to be like selling out, where it's like, you're already
making it super popular. Would we have LimeWire memes?
I think even if it didn't happen, we'd be okay with Bonsai Buddy memes.
Yeah. So the so anyway, but
I can send email. Really?
So Sodas did the whole thing. He got a contract with Games Workshop. They all deleted all their 40K content from YouTube. So because it all went exclusive to Games Workshop. We all understood that happened. We were kind of, I think a lot of us were sad that it happened. Not, I wasn't, because I think the only thing I'd ever watched was Astartes, and I thought that was pretty cool, but I was like, oh, it's a fan animation. Cool. You know, I'm not literally,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
I don't
Astartes is my style. It was the whole fucking thing was like 7 minutes.
Yeah. I don't get invested enough where I'm like, I have to watch this every day because it's the only way I can get through myself in the morning. If some people have to do that, I think you need to find more clinical help at that point.
I suggest HoloLive. You should get really into HoloLive.
HoloLive, okay.
Yes.
And so what they do is they harass this guy, like they do. And now he's like, you know what? I'm done with 40K. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to do anything for Games Workshop. I'm just going to be done with it. I'm just going to work on my stuff on YouTube, which, you know, good for him. But it's just like these assholes. And here's the thing that always kind of bothers me. There's always this weird moral high ground with that sort of, you know, behavior where the guy's like, this guy's harassing me, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, you know, let's, who are these people who are harassing you? Like, put up some of the things. I want to see this so we could find the guy and tell him to knock it off. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. We don't necessarily have to dox him, but, you know, let's let these people know that it's not okay to do that. Like, you know, leave up your comments or something or other. And, you know, let's get this taken care of. I want to see what this looks like, what this harassment looks like. But aside from that,
I think there's been enough high profile celebrities that have been mass harassed that you can probably already figure out what it looks like.
Yeah. And but also on top of it, it's like, it's one of those downsides of just social media in general. Like, if I started getting harassed for whatever reason for this podcast, I just delete it. Like, I'm like, you know, I enjoy talking with you on a bi-weekly basis about Games Workshop stuff and stuff, but it's not enough for me to deal with any sort of stressful nonsense. And most of our fans
For sure.
And I all of our fans are really nice. And, you know, I've always had very pleasant conversations with them online. But that's,
I think the most I also think the most negative comments we've had were mostly just kind of humorous. Like,
yeah,
they used too many curse words. One star.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of nonsense. And it's like, and if
I just fucking like that.
And if anyone posted anything negative on the Facebook page or something like that, I'm just like, belete. You know, it's like, I don't care enough to like engage. I just like belete.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we're not popular enough to have like a campaign run against us, I don't think.
Oh, not yet. No.
not yet. Get out of here.
Yeah. After 10 years, eventually we're going to hit our stride. fucking, God damn. So I was going to say, oh yeah. So what's going on in the news wise today. I was trying to do some 3D modeling so I can make some bootleg Games Workshop figures today. And I couldn't get on the website to look at my reference materials because they're doing the pre-order for the Beast Nagas. And I was like, God damn it. I don't want to order that. I was like, is there a way to put like click and say that, like, I don't want to order anything. I just want to look at some pictures.
That's great. I don't want the Beast Nagas. I just need pictures so I can make copies.
Yeah. So I can make photocopies of them and just print them and not have to pay your outrageous prices. I was at the friendly local gaming store and, I don't remember what I was talking about, but I started going into this big rant about, like, I remember back in the day when you could buy yourself 2 Land Raiders for a quarter and actually have a nickel left over. We called that a Land Raider leftover. You could buy yourself a candy bar with that Land Raider leftover. And I just kept
put that candy bar right in your pocket. That was the style at the time.
Which was the style at the time. And you'd have 2 Land Raiders, which you couldn't field because there weren't any rules for them, but they looked cool. I painted them up as the Rainbow Warriors, which were the manliest Space Marine Legion at the time.
And, of course, I had my trusty deodorant hover tank.
Deodorant hover tank. God. You know, people still like making those and, like, just to show them off online. Like, look at this Land Raider, like, deodorant that I made.
And just, the deodorant hover tank. I mean, that's probably one of the funniest models I've ever seen. So I think it's going to be around forever.
I'm trying to think of like probably funniest homemade model for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, I'm going to use this in my game of Traveler. wait, hold on.
Something's happening.
I wanted to get my my box from Castle Creation so I could read the back of this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. By all means.
It's actually really funny. I went to it was a warehouse sale for this toy store that's out in Berwyn. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Berwyn.
Thank you. local references. anybody doesn't know that, look up Sven Gulli.
I love Sven Gulli. Great guy.
Rich Coase. I've met him a couple times.
Yeah, he's super nice.
Yeah. But and so digging through everything back there, I ended up finding some old minis in package, you know, like really nice, like classic packages, like mint condition Star Frontiers stuff, which is, you know, the game that doesn't need a board because it all takes place in the player's imagination, Steve.
That's fucking right. Take that, fifth edition players.
But I need my battle map. I've got to count the squares. I have to count the squares to know if my spell is going to go off. But anyway, I found a one package in a beautiful box for Castle Creations. I really thought the figure was fucking terrible. It is a
god. Oh, I love it. I love that figure. I'm in love with that figure.
The Castle Creations Shiva. It's like the flash
it's
on there.
It's so good.
The flash it's on so the model good. Is like half the body weight of the figure.
It seems like the flash is like 100% perfectly like encapsulating the entire model, which is great.
Yes. But the box is gorgeous. And on the back, it says, are you tired of high prices and wimpy heroes and monsters? Want characters that look tough enough to survive the deadliest adventure? Come to Castle Creations. From the deepest dungeons to the farthest reaches of the universe, our figures lead the way in your adventure game. See your local Castle Creations dealer for a complete listing of our figures, or write for us for our current catalog. Please include $1 for our current catalog. Castle Creations, 1322 Cranwood Square Street, Columbus, Ohio, 43229. I bet you that's someone's house, in all honesty. I didn't give away someone's address.
Well, I mean, you didn't give it away. It's on commercial advertisement.
Yeah, well, I mean, commercial advertisement for something that hasn't existed for probably close to... This is probably close to 40 years old at this point. Let's see.
But wait, what if they still exist?
Cranwood. I'm looking it up right now.
What if they've just been cranking out Shivas for the past 40 years?
I looked up. I did look up their catalog because it's on Stuff of Legends, and it was
nice.
Yeah. This is definitely some dude's house. I just looked it up on Google Maps. It is.
That's terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is a dude. That's a nice looking house.
I love it.
Oh, no, wait, though. That's not his house. Okay, hold on. Yeah. I was looking at the house next door. I'm sorry. But yeah, that's a dude's house. But it's right next to Crown Plaza Columbus North Hotel. It's a 3-star hotel.
Yeah.
And the law offices of Robert A. Scherberger.
Peter Francis Geraci.
Are you going through a divorce? another local reference for people, the Chicagoland community, Peter Francis Geraci. No, but yeah.
We got to hit with the nuclear. 773-202.
Luna. I still go by the Empire Carpet. Like, some people don't know that the Empire Carpet guy was legit a Chicagoland thing. Like, because I guess it's nationwide now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. So that's why they changed it to 800. Because it used to be...
1-800. 2-300. Empire.
Yeah, because it used to be 312, you know, as the area code. Yes. The old Chicago area code. But yeah, the people have like freak, like they're like, what? That's not, it's like nationwide. I had no idea. But anyway.
Well, congratulations to Empire Carpet.
You know, I've talked about this before. I think it was way back when I was doing Planet Arbitrary. I love local commercials, and I didn't realize how wonderful they were until I was older. To like truly appreciate like Gulf Mill Ford with the
push
guy
it,
with like
pull it, tow it to Gulf Mill Ford. Ford,
you know that,
and
you know,
the old lady on Grand Avenue.
That the guy who's like, your old car is worth money, you know, and he gives like
Victory Auto Records,
and they give him like $60 in like old $20 bills, like some.
Yes,
I read some article, I think it was probably in like the Tribune, where they were saying like that commercial, which they made for like $10, has like aired over a million times.
Yeah, that old car is worth money. That Victory Auto Records commercial was like, I believe it was the longest running commercial of all time.
It could very well be.
Because they made a big deal when they were doing a new commercial. They actually had like a paid contest where if you won, they would pay you to work on their new commercial.
I don't doubt it. It's probably at least the longest running Chicagoland commercial, you know.
Yeah, like, it was pretty legendary.
And people, I don't know if Eagle Man is still going, but
look at those low rates. Well, Eagle Man, I don't think it,
for you.
Yeah, Eagle Man, I believe, was replaced kind of by a Nationwide. He was basically replaced by the General.
By the General. Yeah.
If we were to like go, but the General obviously is not local, but the General is the same shitty like. They basically like the same style of company, just bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just like why is a nationwide commercial for insurance putting out this sort of shitty, you know, commercial?
Why is Shaq in this commercial?
Why is Shaquille O'Neal doing commercials for the General?
Yes.
But and I don't even remember where I was going. Oh yeah, so I was at this this warehouse sale, and you know they're it's like a toy, you know, they buy old toys and shit like that, so they just keep them in the back. It's basically any gamer's basement. And I asked them, I go, do you guys have any D&D stuff? And they're like, oh yeah, there's a whole pallet in the back, right? And I was like, what, a pallet? So I go back there and there's a full pallet of TSR boxes. Like little literal cardboard boxes with TSR stamped on them. I was like, oh, this is really neat. So I started opening them up, and literally there was only three books, different books, this entire palette. Like, that's they were awesome. All from Birthright. And I was like, ugh, this is the worst.
That's great. You thought you found gold.
I did think I thought I found gold, and it was like three different books from Birthright. There was two novels from the old AD&D novel series, you know, where they had the red lettering where it was like Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. I don't collect the novels because I never really liked D&D novels. I know I always thought they were kind of really low quality, even by like pulp fantasy. Yeah. By pulp fantasy standards, yeah, they were low quality.
They're definitely not great.
Like the best of them is the Drizzt stuff, and that stuff's not that great.
And that stuff didn't come until way later.
Yeah, well, this was about that era.
Drizzt didn't start until third edition, like the 90s, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Am I wrong?
I
might be wrong. I thought he was a product of third edition Wizards of the Coast. I thought he was a product of Wizards of the Coast Dungeons and Dragons. I might be wrong, but I was fairly certain that Drizzt didn't start until then.
He was a fictional character appearing in... I'm trying to look for his first appearance. Let's see. Homeland was the first book that came out in 1990. So definitely second edition.
Okay. Yeah. So he bridged the gap between. Oh yeah, I know. I should have known that because he's in the video game Baldur's Gate 2, which is Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
Advanced.
I won Dungeons and Dragons, and it was advanced. So he bridged the gap between editions. All right, fair enough. Yeah. I just remember the Wizards of the Coast Drizzt books the most because the oh my god, so many people just come in and just be like, "You have the new Drizzt book? Yes, here. Yeah. Thanks. Bye."
And I will never forgive R.A. Salvatore for making a character whose name is fucking impossible to pronounce.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to do that as a fantasy writer. You know, like, it's fine that you want to put a... But, like...
Look, all I'm saying is that Elminster is a fucking fantasy as shit name, but it's really easy to say.
Yeah. And you hate Elminster, too.
Fuck Elminster. Fucking overpowered self-insert bullshit character.
Good old Mary Sue's. Well, I guess he's not really a Mary Sue, but...
Yes, he'd be a Gary Stu.
He'd be Gary Stu. But yeah, so I'm going through this pile. I got so mad. But they did have the boxes of the magic item cards and the psionic power cards, too. And I was like, oh, I could buy these. Like, they had a whole, like, two boxes full of these, right? And so I was like, oh, I brought them up there. And the guy was like, we're selling these for $60 a piece. I'm like, fuck this. I already have them. I was just gonna, you know, it's always nice to have a nice sealed one, but whatever. Fuck you. But I ended up buying some of the old figures in the package because I was like, you know what? I love the old packaging on those. I don't want to. I'm never going to paint them or anything like that, but I will definitely put them on display.
It looks great. You know what you should do? You should ascend and become the do you know the Angry Video Game Nerd?
Yes, I do know Pat is a very big fan of the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Have you ever seen his movie collection?
No, I have not.
Okay, so this won't be quiet, but here I think it's one of the coolest ways I've seen to display a collection. And you know, normally I'm not big on collections in general, but I really like the idea that he did. So his movie collection, he's got, you know, just like an absolute, like, disgusting amount of movies. But the way he displays them is his basement looks like a video store. Like he has video store advertisements. He's got a counter. He's got like the shelf pop-up displays and like all of his videos and movies and games are laid out as if it was a video rental store.
You know, I've seen, I've just looked it up online and I've seen this before.
Okay.
That's kind of what I want to do. Once you know,
you should set your gaming collection up like you're a fucking like a trashy ass hole in the wall game store.
I kind of want to do that, and that was like a insight into Joe's world. I'm looking to buy a new house. We're kind of outgrowing the house that we're in. Our house is a wonderful house. It's small, you know. I have two kids. They're both
well. You couldn't have possibly picked a worse time to buy a house.
No shit, especially in the town that we're looking to buy, because it's not a lot of inventory is what they call it in the town anyway. But anyway, so I was gonna buy this. There was this one house that we really fucking loved. It was a ranch style, so it was all one level. Huge layout. They had built an addition onto it, so it was like a really cool master suite on there. But the cool thing is it had a murder basement, right? You know, one of those old school stone cellars. But it was huge, monstrously huge. And what on top of it, what was great was when they built the addition on the house.
Did it have the drains?
Yeah, it totally had. Well, like all houses out here have the sump pumps and the drains and everything like that.
I guess I should clarify. Yes, they all have drains, but there's something that I call the drains, which is like there are like multiple of them in the basement, and you're not quite sure why. that was my one of my high school friends. His house had that. Like that's where I coined the term the drains.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because we went down there and like it, like, you know, we've talked murder basement before, but like, holy fuck, murder basement. I was just like, why are there so many? What the fuck did people do down here?
No, this one only had two. What was cool about this house was that when they had built the addition onto it, they had built an addition onto the basement, right? So you go down there and there was literally one whole wall. Has like this hole just like smashed into it with like a sledgehammer to make room to this other, you know, massive room because they built on for the addition. And I was like, this is the fucking coolest thing I've ever seen. The room was gigantic. And it was like a guy's workshop. Like he literally did work down there and he had like a vent fume in there and all of these like electrical sockets put in there. And I could have eased, like the size was perfect enough to turn it into like my own personal game store. Right.
Nice.
Like, I could put in the shelving. I could put in like the peg work. I could do all sorts of stuff and turn it into like a mini games workshop, but a mini local gaming store for myself and put a table in there. Also have my desk, you know, to work and stuff like that. And my display cases. It was like perfect. But unfortunately, like I had just gotten my new job and I was like, I had to wait to get the new job before we put in the paperwork to get, you know, all the stuff and everything like that. And as soon as we put it in, the guy was like, you know, they just went under contract yesterday. I was like, God damn it. So I lost out on that one. But like, that's what I really want to do is I want to make like a mini game store in my house just so I can have that feeling of like not having to go to an actual game store, you know.
I like it. Well, plus you can make it a time capsule, which I think would be an important component to it. Because, like, you know, you wouldn't make it look like a contemporary game store. You'd make it look like a game store out of, you know, the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, my God. There's this one local gaming store that's by us. It's one of the card game ones. I'm not going to give its name because I'm about to shit on it. It was the worst game store I've ever went into in my life. I walked in there and it was half the lights weren't working.
Nice.
The entire place smelled of like fried food. Like someone had gone, you know, that smell like in a game store after someone goes to Portillo's and gets like a dipped beef and they bring it back with the fries, the cheese fries. Mm-hmm. Like that was the smell of the store. And there was like 10 people in there. They were all playing Magic and they were the most foul smelling crew I've ever seen. The store was disgusting. Like there was like no one had vacuumed. No one had dusted. I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is obviously some dude just wanted a place to hang out with his friends. Like, so I guess he bought the game store and set it up because it's a newer game store. They had newer stock and everything. Like, it was mostly board games, but it was like no one gave a shit about that store. So, yeah.
Oh man, nice. That's altogether pretty common though. I think there's definitely the like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just gonna do games and then like don't take care of it.
Yeah, 100% that. But yeah, I got off. Sorry about the tangent about buying the house, but that's kind of what I was looking for a store for myself. Because I did some inventory now that we're thinking about moving. I'm actually getting most of my gaming collection out to move to storage before we, you know, so we could sell the house and everything like that. And I have over 30 boxes of gaming, just games. Like, so like the starter set boxes, I have about 30 of them.
I'm telling you, man, you could do the construction paper exploding cutout sign that says new arrival taped to like one of the shelves. Put like your newest game acquisition there as you collect.
Yeah.
Oh man, you could do some good stuff. All I'm saying is you could definitely farm the fuck out of some karma on Reddit.
I could, but you know, my biggest issue is that I used to have massive amounts of blisters, right? Because when Games Workshop would have like the discount blister box, remember that one?
Oh yeah, that was always the best.
Yeah, fire sales. Workshop, yeah, when Games Workshop would run a local gaming store out of business, and they would ship all of the excess inventory to the bunker, and so they would sell off the excess inventory at like, you know, rapidly discounted prices, and you know, as an employee, I'd get it even cheaper. So I had thousands of blisters, not thousands. I probably had close to 100 blisters at one point. But I took everything out of the blister and put it into storage, which is actually smarter in the long run because it saves way more space. But right. I kind of regret not having the blisters, you know.
Well, I mean, you can always do. I think you could come up with an inventive solution to make that look like a store decision.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. You haven't seen my office in a while, but I do have like the old VHS plastic clamshell cases that I put with miniatures, and I write on the spine what the miniatures are.
Oh, nice.
So it's like it'll say on there like high elf white lions, and inside I'll have like, you know, 30 or 40 white lions inside the plastic clamshell. It's a nice solution for myself, but I only do it with metal minis.
Obviously,
you know, the I have some plastic stuff. I don't know. Plastic has been not great for me. So I just always feel like I lose shit. I don't take care of plastic as much as I take care of the metal stuff, which is what you need to take care of the plastic more, but whatever.
Yes.
This is inside the mind of a gaming collector. So I'm sorry for the nuts and bolts of all of this, considering that there are maybe like three collectors out there and I am one of them.
No, there's definitely a fuck. I think you might be a little more targeted, but like, no, there's an absolute mountain of game collectors. That's not even close. Yeah. Like that's not even, you are definitely not in a minority there. There's a fuck ton of people who just collect.
Yeah. And people also, which I always think is so weird, is they have very specific wants. They want miniatures from, you know, second edition 40K or yeah, like old hammer stuff is something completely different. Let's not even talk about old hammer collectors.
They want stuff from when they were playing the most.
Yeah.
But that's what they want. They want something when they were playing the most.
Most people now are like want second edition 40K box sets and fifth edition fantasy box sets. Those are the two box sets that most people really look for, and they want it sealed in package is what they're looking for.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's the prices are outrageous right now. But what I like is I actually like the packaging because I use it for storage, which is, I think that's, you know, so I could put stuff on display and I don't necessarily have to keep it like, this is my new in package Alcatini Fellowship from the fifth edition Dogs of War Army, which I actually do have sealed still, but it's worth like $300. Ridiculous. But I could keep like, oh, this is a Chaos Chariot fifth edition box set that I have, but it's actually filled with metal minis of something else or plastic minis for something else, but I could keep it on display and it looks cool, so I can have it like as my game store, but I just have stuff, you know, sealed in there. Yeah, welcome to
I like it.
Welcome into my way of thinking.
I like it.
So actually, one thing I did want to talk about for this cast, and you know, we're running out of time, but it doesn't have to be running out of time, because we've been going over long anyway.
We're almost complete. We almost completed the mission.
I wanted to talk about. I had a question that I posed to you, and I was going to put it up on the Facebook page, but I might do it post. But I decided to do a post.
Oh, so they can. I like that because we can do ours and then we can pose the question.
Yeah, that's not bad. Because I didn't want to skew our own way of thinking on this one. I'm trying to pull it up. I don't remember when we talked about this. It was just recently, right?
It was. Well, I mean, it was like shortly after the last cast.
Yeah. Let me see. Okay. Here we go. So. This is to Steve and all of our listeners as well. You are allowed to build and paint only 3 armies or warbands for 3 games over the next 5 years. So that's all you get. You get 3 armies, factions, warbands for 3 games over the next 5 years. You can't do anything else. You can get whatever you want for these armies cost free, and you will always have someone to play against. Like, so this gets into magical realism, because no matter what game you want to play. So if you said, I want to play Chainmail from Dungeons and Dragons, not the original one, but the one that they did in the early 2000s to recapture the magic, you would be able to play. You'd have someone magically to play against, and it could be someone. If this isn't Monkey's Paw, this isn't like you're gonna get the worst player ever to play against. No, you'll get multiple players, it'll be fun. The armies also have to be for 3 different games. Now here's the thing. This is just for fun, so don't try and game the system like most Magic neckbeards do, where they're like, I want to play Order for Age of Sigmar, because that includes all of the Order armies.
Not anymore,
yes. But I mean, like, that's what, like, you know, it's the guy who asks, like, I would wish for more wishes. You know, it defeats the purpose of the question. So yes. let's not go that way. I know those people. Okay, so, but Steve, you said you had some interesting answer. So let's hear what your 3 are.
All right. So my 3, the first would be confrontation.
Ooh.
Old confrontation. That would be the first one.
What army?
I'd do the alchemists, the scorpion dudes.
Okay, the scorpions, the alchemists of deers.
Yeah, yeah, the alchemist dudes, because they're cool as shit.
All right.
That would be the first. Okay. The second, obviously, would be War Master.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like, that one's not surprising.
Yeah. Which faction?
I'd probably do, like, Lizard Men, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I want to do something weird that I've never done before. So I'd probably go with Lizard Men.
I have a massive box of Warmaster Lizard Men in my house, of course. But so way back, I'm talking like in 2005 or 6, right? I had a guy who commissioned me to paint a bunch of Warmaster Lizard Men. Right. So I was like, okay, I'll take care of that. No problem. So I was working on it, and then he contacts me and goes, stop working on them right now. I ran into some money problems because he got in trouble with the IRS, right?
Of course.
And so he's like, hold on to them. When I get things sorted out, you start up again. I'm like, okay, no problem. 2021, I still have them.
And, has he ever contacted you? Is he alive?
A while, like,
did he go to jail?
No, I know him. He's still active in the community, in the War Master community too. And he was like, and at that point I was like, he was just like, you still have those? And I was like, yeah, I still have them. And he's like, you know, hold on to them. I'm going to try and get back to him at some point. And that was probably in 2012. And I, you know, I run into him every once in a while, and he never says anything else about him, but I still have them. I just, you know, I could sell them for an ass load of money, but, I just never got around to it.
What an odd situation.
I know. So anyway, what's your 3rd one?
I wanted to get further clarification. Oh. Is this minis games only, or is it any game?
Minis games only.
Okay. See, that's an important.
Because otherwise, I would just say magic, and then after the last 5 years, I would sell it all off and retire. You know?
Fair. But we said we're not going to game the system. So this is presumably something that you'd still keep even after the 5 years.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So was I. So it's a confrontation, War Master. And then the last one, would saying Hero Quest be cheating? Because it's not technically a minis game.
You know what? I would allow you if you said Hero Quest, because then you would just, you know, focus on painting and playing your Hero Quest. But there is a progression system with Hero Quest.
It would be all of the Hero Quests. So like Hero Quests and the expansions.
Yeah, Hero Quest. Would that include Warhammer Quest?
No, they're not compatible.
Oh, that's right. They aren't compatible, are they?
No.
However, so you'd get like there was the Necromancer one, right?
Yeah, there was two expansions.
Layer of the Orc Lord, something like that.
And then the Necromancer.
Like, yeah.
And then there's Hero Quest. And I'm talking the classic Hero Quest, not the new one.
Yeah, classic Hero Quest. Did they ever say anything about that Hero Quest Redux? Did you back
it? Yeah, I did not back it. It made a fuck ton of money. It made like over $4 million. It's happening. It's being produced. Hasbro's doing it. I ended up not back. So I have, this is like the most fucking neckbeard reason ever for not backing a game, I swear. And like, but I was super close to backing it. So there's two games that was like, so there was a couple things that were like, There were many reasons and things that rolled into each other for these decisions. But one, the first was I was about to back it instantly. But honestly, the minis are nice and they're good looking, but I don't think I like them.
No,
I think I want to play with the shitty original models.
Absolutely, 100%. That's the same reason I didn't back it. It was because the minis are too World of Warcraft. I didn't want World of Warcraft figures. I want 5th edition Hero Hammer figures.
Yeah, I want like the fat, chunky Chaos Warriors. I want the Gargoyle. Yeah. So like, I don't know. That it feels awfully neckbeard to do it. But to me, like I looked at them, they just looked so, I don't know, Hollywooded.
Yeah, well, they look World of Warcraft is what I like to call it.
Yeah, they definitely look
the Orcs. Pathfinder.
Although I am absolutely here for the thick orc women, like that, I would take the thick orc women and put them into the old mod. I don't care if they don't look anything like the old Hero Quest games. I want the thick orc women.
Which is like, you bring that up, and I never thought about this until you literally just said this, but I'm kind of surprised they didn't do female orcs for Dominion. For the cruel boys.
That's because I mean, and we're gonna throw it out here. Orcs are agender. They come out of they're grown out of mushrooms. There's no female orcs. No such thing.
But that's not the way it works in fantasy, right?
No, they are still mushrooms in fantasy, as far as I know. As far as I know, that I mean, I believe their lore has changed several times over, but I believe the current Sigmar lore is that they are fungus, just like the orcs in 40K.
Yeah, I would suppose so, but I would like some female presenting agender orcs.
Well, they have the cheerleaders in Blood Bowl.
They do have the cheerleaders in Blood Bowl, but as we know, Blood Bowl takes place in an alternate timeline, much like Loki.
So I don't know. So I guess I would say my answer to that would be I don't know. Plus, I mean, who knows what the orcs reproductive cycle is, and who knows what an orc female looks like? They could just not have boobers.
Yeah, I know, but you know what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying, but I don't think that's I think that's like I think there's like a weird like because like, you know, like Tolkien orcs, like they some I think only the Uruk-hai come out of the flesh bags.
Yeah. Because the original orcs are actually elves that have been twisted.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they couldn't look like whatever they looked like, because you know elves all look pretty, so the orcs all look fugly. So you don't know if it's an orc lady or an orc dude, because they're, you know, they've just been they're the what is it, the opposite coin of the elf.
Yeah.
But
which would have been actually cool if Jackson had some females playing the orcs. You know, they could look as all nasty, but they could just be like, with a, you know, a slightly more feminine orc voice.
True.
Yeah.
But What about them? They're fresh.
What about the legs? They don't need the legs.
They don't need those. Oh man, those movies are great.
Yeah.
So, I would say HeroQuest, an original classic HeroQuest. Oh, the other game was Darkest Dungeon. I was like super close on like pulling the trigger on Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah.
I think that game just looks so good. It looks exactly like that. But I actually had like a come to Jesus moment about that, and I was just like, I can just play the video game. and I didn't back it. Like legit, that's legit what happened. I was like, I can just play the video game, and I didn't back it.
Yeah. I'm very much with you on the on that one. However, you know what's a great Kickstarter that I probably should back is the new Call of Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu. I was about to shill that one myself.
Yeah, that one looks so good. How much is left on that? How much time is left on that one?
Let me hit the books. First edition Kickstarter.
Cthulhu Classic has got a week left, so it'll be 6 days after this cast drops. And it's like I think it's what was it? It's $100 and you get the full classic 2-inch box set, which is not
terrible. I would argue that is a terrific value if you look at the price of what the originals go for.
Yeah, I have an original box set, an original 2-inch.
And the original box set doesn't even come with all of the content that this new one does.
Because you get Asylum, Trail of Sothagua, Shadows of Yog-Sothoth, and Fragments of Fear, which are all pretty decent.
And they're hitting some awesome stretch goals. There's their dice handouts. There's a keeper screen.
Yeah.
The Kickstarter is just called Call of Cthulhu Classic. I highly recommend it. So Call of Cthulhu is an interesting game that I don't think we've talked about enough. Actually, I know we've talked about Lovecraft and Cthulhu plenty of times, but I wanted to actually point out something about Call of Cthulhu that I don't know if a lot of people know. But Call of Cthulhu is a very interesting outlier in the world of RPGs, and maybe just in tabletop gaming in general. So Call of Cthulhu is on its 7th or 8th edition currently, I believe.
Yeah, it's something like that.
But here's the thing about Call of Cthulhu. Its editions don't actually change. So like you can grab a Call of Cthulhu supplement from its 3rd edition, from its 2nd edition, from its 5th edition, and you can play that in the 7th edition or in the 8th edition. All of the additions, like they don't change system mechanics in that game. All they do is like it's basically each edition is legit like rules cleanup, and like I think they added some skills like over time. Like so like I think there's a few more like skills that exist in 8th edition that didn't exist in previous editions. But like in terms of like the gameplay, it's like how like, you know, like D&D, if you've ever played Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 2nd edition, you know about Thaco to hit armor class 0, which is like a different style. I mean, it's, you know, it's similar, you're still rolling a 20 to hit, but like the style of system is quite different, and it changes the odds to hit stuff, like, you know, significantly from say 3rd edition, where you start getting sky high armor classes, where you know, like you need a natural 20 to hit every, you know, all this shit because their armor class is so high, or absolutely absurd high modifiers. Like AD&D 2nd edition, like I think like an absurd modifier in 2E would be like a +7, would be like insane. Like that's a fucking ridiculous modifier, but like that's routine by like mid-level in 3rd edition. So those kind of changes, and like adding feats and stuff, like dramatically changing the game with additions, like happens all the time with like every other game. Call of Cthulhu, legit not like that. Like it is just not. I don't know. It's a very stable and well done system. So I would highly recommend acquiring this game because the end of my little soapbox there was that if you are interested in this game and you still want to play the more contemporary in print version, you can buy this first edition box set and then just buy the most recent rulebook, and you have what you've purchased is compatible with one another, which is, that's completely unheard of in tabletop games.
Yeah, I mean, because I have, I want to say, in my own opinion, I'm not 100%. Hold on just 1 second. Let me check some.
Sure.
I think what in my head when most people say Call of Cthulhu as a game is the fifth edition box is the fifth edition. If you look at the fifth edition stuff, you're like, oh yeah, that's pretty much the Call of Cthulhu that's in my head. But I'm also older than a lot of people, so you know, younger people might have a different edition in their head. But fifth edition is what I always think of when I think of Call of Cthulhu. And I have a couple of the supplements from them, and it's a wonderful game. I did happen to come across the old 2-inch box set for Call of Cthulhu, which I think is the second edition set. Not 100% sure on that. But when I got it, the only thing that was missing from it was the Call of Cthulhu part of the supplement. I have pretty much everything. It almost came complete. It had the map. It had the dice. It had the source book for the 1920s. It was just missing the main rule book, which I had anyway. Not the second edition one, but I have the fifth edition one. So it's like a really cool box set to have. And I really, you know, think anybody who's interested in Call of Cthulhu in and of itself should buy this box set for $100, back it. I'm so very surprised it's only made like half a mil, not even a half a mil, but it's very, for what you're getting, it's probably one of the best Kickstarter RPG starter sets I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, for sure. No question.
Especially like it has a good pedigree, so you know you're getting a decent game. And
exactly. It's not a new game. There's no surprises.
Yeah, there's no surprise on there. There are no minis in Call of Cthulhu, period. Like you could buy Call of Cthulhu minis.
They do the cutouts.
Yeah. But it's not a mini game. It's not a game for minis.
No, the cutouts are useful though, because they have like they're just useful to show positioning as always.
Yeah. And,
but you don't need like a map. Like I think they describe the cutouts because they're silhouettes. Character silhouettes that can be cut apart and used to show the position of the investigators and the minions and monsters they meet. These figures can make everyone's actions much more understandable. But that's all that is. It's an understanding aid. It's not, this is how you play the Call of Cthulhu board game. It's this guy's next to you, so you don't forget that there's someone standing right next to you when you describe your action.
So in my in the character sheets that I got in my box set that I bought, I think I bought the box set for I think $30, which is a really great deal. But the guy who wrote the character's name on there in such perfect penmanship that I literally thought it was printed on the sheet at
first.
That's
awesome. That's awesome.
I looked at him like, wait a minute, this is pen. I'm like, this guy's penmanship is so perfect.
Were you jealous?
I am jealous. I have terrible penmanship. Like I actually like my cursive is very flowy. And I think I heard someone describe it as old timey before, but nice. My actual like normal writing, like my letters just all look like
block like lettering.
Like if a handwriting expert from the 1970s looked at my handwriting, they'd be like, we have to arrest this man right away.
He's the Zodiac killer. That's great. Yeah. That's one thing that people have always complimented me on is they say my penmanship is excellent.
Yeah, I definitely do not have excellent penmanship in no way, shape or form. So like, is there anything else I wanted to talk about for today?
We showed the Call of Cthulhu Kickstarter. We talked about weird shit. I think we're good.
You think we're good? Yeah. I
just talked about how HeroQuest is the greatest game in all the land.
Oh, you know, I never went over my.
He saw the gargoyle and he said he's got to get into that, and he was right.
I never went over my games, which.
Oh is, yeah, you should. Yeah.
I would pick any faction. For Horus Heresy, it doesn't matter really. I would pick I already have three Horus Heresy armies, but I think in part of this is because in order to have people to play against and to have like legitimate models would be very nice to deal with instead of all my shit that I deal with normally. So let me think. I would probably do Iron Warriors, I think would be a cool one to do for Horus Heresy.
Iron Within, Iron Without.
Iron Within, Iron Without. For Age of Sigmar, I would like to do a Cities of Sigmar.
That's a good choice.
Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff on there and you could do a lot of customizable stuff for Cities of Sigmar. There's a lot of fun stuff that you could deal with there. I would kind of want to do a Chaos Army as well. But I mean, it's one of the two. I don't really care, but Cities of Sigmar would probably be my top pick. And my third one is, and I know this is, you're probably going to make fun of me, but I would probably have a do bolt action Germans. Yeah.
Butt action.
There's just a lot to play with in the German army.
Out of all the games out there, you pick a historical war game.
I know.
Could have said clan war and I would have been more respectful of that decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for that third one, but I definitely, the Horus Heresy and the Cities of Sigmar one are probably my the top two. Oh, you know what? Let me change it. I will change that to a I want to do a historical one. So I'll do a Hail Caesar Roman army. How about that?
Ooh, all right. Yeah. I like that. I support that decision.
I will do that as opposed to before, like, let's say a Napoleonic army, because I think that my brain would melt painting Napoleonics. But I could easily do a Republican Roman Legion or Imperial Roman Legion army before I could do that. So I'm going to put this question up on Facebook, so you're allowed to add anything that you want on there. Once again, no gaming the system. So that's the key thing on that one. But however, Warhammer Quest would be a good one, you know, because there's a lot of Warhammer Quest supplements, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it'd also be good. Yeah, for sure.
Because you'd get Cursed City. You'd also get Blackstone Fortress. So you get best of both worlds in that one and all the supplements for Blackstone Fortress. So That's quite a bit. Unfortunately, there's not going to be any supplements for Cursed City.
This is true. Womp womp indeed.
Yeah. All right. So go to the Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. You can like, comment, and subscribe on the iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTubes. You can follow me at the Game Classy Joe. That's my Instagram handle. Right now, I'm just finishing up my Adeptus Titanicus Legio Grabowski, which is my Chicago focused Adeptus Titanicus models. I think they look great. I use the Chicago flag as the paint scheme. That's the reason why I called that. Yeah.
It's a good paint scheme.
It is. It's a fantastic, like, the Chicago flag is one of, like, the top three flags in the world, in my opinion. Not just because I'm from Chicago, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's a good color scheme, good aesthetic.
Yeah. Surprisingly, the Washington DC flag is up there pretty high in my opinion. But it's kind of just like the Chicago flag, so it's not, it's easier to paint too than the Maryland flag, which is the goofiest shit flag in the United States. However, it's better than the Illinois state flag, which is one of the worst state flags out there.
True.
That flag makes no sense out there. Canada has a great flag. I think if I could do like a Titanicus army with the Canada flag, I'd do that. Put a big maple leaf right in the center. Well, you would do the Japanese flag if you could.
I mean, it's the same thing as the Canada flag.
Well, no, because
it's a white field with a red thing in the center.
Yeah, just a red circle in the center, which is
red leaf.
That would be a fairly decent paint scheme for a Titanicus, you know?
It probably would be, yeah, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be pretty good. Joe, can you 3D sculpt a samurai helmet onto a Lord Titan head? You know, I bet you if I did that, I can make a lot of money on, like, 3D.
Make some Shogun Titans.
Shogun Titans. Oh. Have you gotten the worm yet that I sent you?
Gotten the worm yet.
All right. It should be coming in the mail like either today or tomorrow or today or Monday.
I'm hotly anticipating its arrival.
So I made that slug and then I gave it to my wife and she sent it. She says she's the one who sent it out in the mail and she brought it to work. And of course, like two people at her work immediately saw that and were like, can he make me one? I'm like, God damn it. All right. I'll make it, but I'm not going to like it. Yeah, and you know, that's gonna have those little nodules on it. You could just sand those right off. Normally I would do that for you, Steve, but I'm like, Steve is an experienced hobbyist. He could take care of this himself.
Indeed.
And you could follow Steve. He is at 420 Blaze It on Reddit. I don't know.
If you want to get in touch with me, just DM the Facebook.
Just DM the Facebook is the best way. So Steve, until next time.
if you are a femboy twink, my DMs are open.
Until next time, are you tired of high prices and wimpy heroes and monsters? That's going to be the tagline of this cast.
We should work it into the intro. Just make it the intro. Tired of high prices and wimpy heroes and monsters? Listen to Game Classy.
Want characters that look tough enough to survive the deadliest adventure? Come to Game Classy.
I think we should
re-record the intro with that.
I like it.
With some shitty
DRM free 80s sounding music. I mean,
or maybe the RoboCop music. I think either of those would work.
Yeah, but that's not DRM free.
It's true, but it is DRM free if I make the sound with my mouth.
Ooh, also true.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, later.
Game Classy.